Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. After a couple of weeks on Supernatural Stocks in which I focused on global companies, we are back now to a local name. A local name with a global strategy, that is, but more on that to come. The Fashini Group, which I'll refer to as TFG for our collective sanity, held a capital markets day this week. This is a very important step for any corporate to take, as it involves top executives committing to a medium-term strategy. There was a very odd and somewhat funny situation in which I accessed the deck early on Friday morning and found a really entertaining mistake in which they had a slide that showed, and I quote, "a national footprint across every corner of South Africa," except it actually showed a footprint only in the Western Cape. The jokes do write themselves, and whether based on my tongue-in-cheek post on X or the other comments that they must have received on the day, this slide was fixed by the time I went back to the deck for this podcast. Let's hope that the rest of the strategic plan is somewhat more robust than the proofreading that went into that particular slide. Let's do the top-of-mind stuff. The Capital Markets Day kicked off with a CEO overview, as is market practice, and it then went on to showcase the divisional executives and their plans, which are obviously far more detailed and are certainly worth looking at. But as a temperature check about what they care about most right now, the CEO's presentation is very helpful. The CEO's deck has a slide that could best be described as the glass half-full slide, showing stats like SA GDP growth at just 1% and a mitigating factor that the informal economy is large and untapped. There's also reference to South African interest rates and unemployment, along with household debt levels. And again, mitigating factors are included, like an expectation for rates to come down. So, some optimism here, but of course they have very little choice. Nobody is going to put a premium valuation on a stock where the management team is pessimistic about the outlook. The irony is that despite the issues, South African consumers are actually dishing out the best results for TFG at the moment. In the UK business, for example, consumer confidence is at terrible levels, and this is coming through in the recent numbers. In Australia, household debt is a serious problem, and that market has been a very painful story for South African retailers in general. South Africa is at least a well-understood beast, which is why investors these days have done a 180 from where they were a decade ago, when all they wanted to see was offshore earnings. Now they like seeing focused retail groups that are operating in markets where each store format actually stands a good chance of winning. The UK and especially Australia are not exactly viewed favorably through such a lens. Interestingly, much of the CEO's deck focused on supply chain and nearshoring of manufacturing. TFG's localization strategy is one of its best features, with benefits versus its peers like lower reliance on global logistics infrastructure, not to mention the South African ports as well, which are, as we know, a mess. Having said that, there is still exposure to the ports when it comes to things like raw materials imported by local manufacturers. So localization is a band-aid rather than a complete solution in terms of infrastructure risk. But where it does make a significant difference is on lead times, something that matters a lot in fashion retail. With 82% of apparel now locally made, TFG is doing their bit for the local economy and to reduce risk in their business. There is also a spectacular slide showing the impact on the real income of South Africans over the past decade. The statistic quoted is that the real income of most South Africans, that is, income adjusted for inflation, fell by 42% in the past 8 years. I can believe it, purely by looking at the cars on the road. Remember when the BMW 3 Series and the Mercedes C-Class were the top sellers in South Africa? A very personal example is that as a newly qualified chartered accountant in an investment banking role straight out of articles back in 2014, I earned a very similar amount to what young CAs are being offered today in similar roles. Yes, a similar amount, but more than a decade later. That's what TFG is referring to as shrinking real income. But what does this mean for their business? Well, in their eyes, it simply means a shift to value retail and a recognition of how price-sensitive South African consumers are. TFG's retail footprint ranges from value offerings like Jet all the way up to higher income offerings like Corricraft, with loads of stuff in between. So as much as they may refer to value as an engine of growth, the challenge here is that this engine is strapped to a large plane where not everything is pulling its weight. If you believe that value is where the growth is, then you're much more likely to invest in Pepkor than TFG, for example. Still, driven by a combination of acquisitions in the past few years and their future plans in the value space, they expect turnover from value offerings to be 7 times higher in FY28 versus FY20 as a base. Although FY20 is of course a very, very soft base thanks to COVID, it's still an ambitious target. If you think that's a lofty goal, then just buckle up for how aggressive the other targets are from this Capital Markets Day. But before that, let's cover some of the other growth engines in the group. It's going to take more than just value offerings to deliver TFG's medium-term targets. They have identified other growth verticals, like the wellness industry and associated products across activewear, and adjacent areas like beauty and self-care. Then there's Bash, the jewel in the crown at TFG at the moment. The omnichannel model is working extremely well, with in-store salespeople who are equipped to step in and try and avoid a lost sale that would be the case when something is out of stock and a customer will then go and buy a substitute product somewhere else. They have clever KPIs and incentive structures that practically turn sales staff into entrepreneurs. There's a comment in the presentation that, and I quote, "victory happens on the front line." And this is absolutely true, as we've all experienced both good and bad service at retailers and then felt the impact that it has on our spend. And beyond omnichannel, which combines digital channels with the power of the store footprint, there's the pure e-commerce play that is also in the Bash stable. This is a primarily smartphone-focused model, tapping into the clear trend of most South Africans shopping on their phones. But what do you notice about these growth drivers? That's right, these growth engines are South African, just like the value play. And this brings us very neatly to the problem. It would be much easier to feel better about a statement like "international by design" on one of the TFG slides if they weren't suffering a drop in same-store sales in both the UK and Australia at the moment. The only thing making the UK numbers look decent is the acquisition of White Stuff, and throwing money at a problem like that tends to just create a bigger problem. With such compelling growth engines in South Africa and a highly competitive environment that will need TFG's full focus for them to be successful, one really has to wonder why there is still so much desire to push the UK and Australian strategies forward. It's particularly worrying when one of the arguments in favour of this approach is to have a natural rand hedge. That is a weak rationale that has not found favour in years now, as investors can choose to get rand hedges elsewhere, in companies that have had huge success internationally like Bidcorp, or Quilter, or Prosus, or a safe bet in inverted commas like British American Tobacco, or many others on the local market, albeit mainly outside of retail. In fact, the dearth of appealing rand hedges in the retail sector tells you something, as this situation isn't for lack of trying. Many have tried to expand offshore and failed, usually because they acquired offshore retail groups that all the typical acquirers in that foreign country would have had to say no to first. When a so-called great deal comes up overseas, you need to ask yourself a simple question. How exactly did this deal skip past all the obvious acquirers and find its way to a South African retailer? Sometimes good deals are done offshore, but they are the exception. Let me put it to you like this. There are 35 slides in the CEO's presentation that kicked off the Capital Markets Day. There is exactly one slide that deals with international, yet it is 25% of group EBIT, that's earnings before interest and tax. There are 4 small bullet points for each of the UK and Australia. Sure, they each had full presentations later on in the day, but so did the South African and online businesses. In my view, the last thing that TFG should be doing is allocating further capital offshore. The local growth opportunities are clearly more compelling, hence why they got so much more focus in the CEO presentation. And there is certainly no lack of ambition when it comes to TFG Africa. If you weren't already convinced that management needs to rather focus on TFG Africa than its offshore businesses, I feel like the medium-term targets for TFG Africa will get you across the line. Quite frankly, even with all the focus in the world, I still don't know how they will get close to these numbers. Let's set the scene. Turnover in TFG Africa has been growing by low single digits each year. TFG Africa has been increasing market share in the past couple of years, yes, but that's not saying much in a difficult macro context where growth is fairly hard to come by. So, drum roll, please. TFG's target compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, for FY25 to FY28 is 12.9%. Yes, that is per year, not total growth over the period. And yes, that is nearly 4 times more than they've recently managed as an annual rate. If by some miracle they can do it, it would generate a CAGR for earnings before interest and tax, that's EBIT again, of 15.9%. Now, I can believe the relationship between turnover and EBIT, i.e. that great turnover growth should drive higher margins and thus even faster growth in EBIT, but as for the sheer quantum of that growth, how on earth will they get that right? Part of the answer lies in their astonishing store expansion plan. They intend to add another 679 stores over the period, which works out to a CAGR of almost 6%. That is an intense strategy for a group that also has plans to grow offshore. But even if they manage it, it implies that roughly half of that lofty target would still need to come from same-store sales. Ambitious? Very. Likely? Probably not. And even less likely if they insist on allocating capital offshore. They are up against the likes of Pepkor and Mr. Price locally as strong players, not to mention the threat of Shein in the value space and many other weaker South African players who will still make them work hard to win market share. Full focus is what the market wants to see. TFG's share price fell 7% in the past 2 days, as the market digested the Capital Markets Day and the trading update for the past quarter. The market is sending a clear message here, but I'm not sure the TFG management is going to really hear it in time. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.